Would you join me, please, in a word of prayer? Lord, times are uncertain. I get tired of hearing that, but it's true. And in all the questions that we have and the anxiety that we feel, you are our rock. You are our strength. And so I ask that as I struggle through another message and I struggle to share the truth that you represent, that you would speak through my words and that you would convince us, that you would comfort us, that you would lead us. Because your truth is powerful. You are the one who makes things real, Lord. Come into this place. Come into our hearts. And prepare those hearts to be receptive to your word. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are on, this is week, five? I think, yeah, we are week five. We are wrapping up this series on 101 blank days, not critical days, all of you ex-military people. Although I suppose they are critical. We're making them more critical, more important, and more impactful, I hope, as we've looked at being forgiving. We've looked at all the other lessons. Go back, you know. I'm not going to sum all that stuff up for you. I have a whole new thing today where we're talking about challenging. We're talking about actually stepping outside your comfort zone like a daughter who likes nothing but chicken strips, chicken nuggets, plain white rice fries, you know, and next thing you know, without Lori or I asking, she's out eating frog legs and just barely missed the escargot. She just embraced the adventure and wonderful things happen. But, you know, I could just start off, I thought about this, I was going to start off saying, hey, who likes new things? And maybe some of you would raise your hand and some of you would go, what new things? You know, because that's kind of a broad thing. And what I'm really getting at, it's who likes to get outside their comfort zone. And that's a stupid thing to ask people to raise their hands about. Because, number one, I can't see your hands, so I don't know if you're raising them or not. But number two, and this is more important, your comfort zone, getting outside your comfort zone is by definition uncomfortable, right? And who likes to feel uncomfortable? That's scary. That's not where most of us choose to be. Even if we find ourselves in that kind of situation, the first thing that we want to do is move out of it. And what today's message is really about, and meeting the challenge, I hope that you will begin to see that if we don't move out of it, God can do some amazing things, just like he did with Philip. And so I'm going to go to that lesson. You've probably heard it before, but I think maybe today you'll hear some new things, and I pray that God will reveal some new things to you. So let's take a look at that reading. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning, seated in his chariot. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join his chariot." Now, you hear the sequence of events. An angel actually tells Philip to go down, and he encounters this Ethiopian reading just what you've heard. And you might think to yourself, that's fabulous. That is terrific, man. What an opportunity. He is in the right place at the right time because God led him there. But I don't think that's what Philip would have been thinking. See, what you might have skipped over, except I had it highlighted right there, this Ethiopian was a eunuch, which means that he was ceremonially castrated for religious purposes. That means he's a pagan, and that means he is unclean. And that means Philip wouldn't have had anything to do with him. Now, the book of Deuteronomy tells us this. Check this out. "No one whose testicles are crushed or whose male organ is cut off shall enter the assembly of the Lord." Was anybody expecting to see this today? If you've ever even read it ever before, you certainly didn't expect to see it in a sermon, right? And some of you may be feeling a little uncomfortable that I'm talking about this. Congratulations! Now you're starting to feel a little bit outside of your comfort zone. And you may be feeling a little of what Philip would have felt at this time. See, Philip is told to go and run up next to this guy by the Holy Spirit. I think, personally, I think that that is included specifically because the people who would have listened to this story would have gone, why were you talking to this guy in the first place? And Philip would have said, because the Holy Spirit told me to go up there. It wouldn't have been natural at all. I think he only did that in response to the Holy Spirit's prompting. And that is bringing me really to the first point. I want to talk today about how we can meet the challenges of this summer. If we're going to meet them head on, if we're going to get comfortable being outside of our comfort zone, if we're going to settle down in it and not try to get out, then there's three suggestions that I have for you today. And the first one is simply this: priorities. There's really one reason and one reason only that Philip was able to go and approach this Ethiopian rather than just blow him off or act like he just pulled a hammy and couldn't run up there. The Holy Spirit nudged him, yes, but he could have ignored that. Philip was only able to do that because he cared more about sharing Jesus than he cared about being comfortable. If you knew somebody who's deathly afraid of heights and deathly afraid of snakes, and there's a room with a snake on the floor and there's a ladder, well, you got to have priorities, right? If he climbs the ladder, he's more afraid of snakes than afraid of heights. And if he stays on the ground, I guess he's more afraid of heights than he is of snakes. Or a woman who runs into a burning building because her child is in there. She cares about her safety. No one wants to be in a burning building, but she cares more about her child. That's her priority. And Philip is able to face a little discomfort being outside of his comfort zone because he cares more about sharing Jesus with this guy. And I want to be clear, this doesn't have anything to do with salvation. Don't start thinking, yeah, if he didn't, he wouldn't be saved. If he had pretended like he pulled a hammy and couldn't run up next to that guy, it's not like he would have lost his salvation. Jesus still died for his sins. He still would have been reconciled. He still would have been pure and clean in God's eyes and blameless because of Jesus' sacrifice, and there's nothing that can ever take that away from you, and you never earn that by how many times you go to church and the gold stars you get for sharing the gospel. That's a beautiful gospel too, isn't it? And sometimes I think when people share it and talk like God would have done this only for you, I mean, that's a beautiful story that God so loved you in particular that he sent his son to die for you and do all those wonderful things, take away your sin and give you his righteousness. But that's not entirely true, because God didn't just love you. He loved the whole world, every person in the world. Jesus tells us in my Father's house, there are how many rooms?
Many
rooms. And a lot of those rooms are still vacant. And sharing the gospel is God's call for us to help fill those rooms. And Philip's passion is to share the truth of Jesus because God died for all people. And he wants to tell them that. And that becomes a priority for him. And it enables him to overcome his discomfort in talking to this guy that's unclean, this pagan, this stranger to him. So he listens to the Holy Spirit and he runs with that good hamstring, because the Holy Spirit made him fast that day. Philip ran up to him and he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation, for his life is taken away from the earth?" And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" "Your forgiveness." No, wait. And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. I wonder if he had to think, was that even real? What an amazing experience. And he didn't see him again, at least on this earth, but I dare say he's seen him now. Now, I don't want you to fall into this trap of saying, man, with an opening like that, talk about being at the right place at the right time, anybody could share the gospel. Because if you didn't notice, the way that story unfolds, it says that he's reading a bit of Isaiah, but Philip doesn't know that until he's already committed. He's listened to the Spirit, and it's only when he runs alongside the chariot that he recognizes what the Ethiopian is reading. Now, jogging hadn't been invented by that time, so he can't just pretend to be jogging by because he doesn't have an opening and he doesn't know what to say. But only because he's already put himself in an uncomfortable position, a situation that he would have never done by himself, does he see what God has prepared for him. Now, the truth is, we're not all going to get an angel that goes, hey, go and stand by this road until I give you more instruction. And we don't know what the Holy Spirit sounded like to Philip either. I mean, maybe it was a clear voice that said, run up alongside that chariot. But maybe it was a quiet, still voice that suggested that he runs up alongside that chariot. When the Holy Spirit speaks to me, it's not in super clear pronunciation. It's not, go do this, go stand by that. Usually it's a little urging, a little nudge. And that's what I hear other people talk about, the Holy Spirit speaking in their lives. He's not always super clear. You have to learn to listen to him. You have to pay attention. That's the second thing that I wanted to share with you today. We have to learn to listen for the Holy Spirit in our lives. Where is God leading us? What does he want us to do? One of the ways I can tell, honestly, more often than not, is he puts me in these uncomfortable situations. I can tell it's his voice and not my voice because I wouldn't have thought of that on my own. So one little suggestion for you, just give this a try. One of the first things that we can do in order to pay attention not just to the Holy Spirit but to the situation around us is pick your head up out of your phone. You would be amazed. Next time you're standing in line someplace, put your phone in your pocket and just look around. You will be struck, I promise you, you will be struck by looking at the top of everybody else's head because everybody else is doing this. But maybe somebody somewhere is also looking around. And there's some kind of connection formed right there. You don't know until you start to listen and you start to pay attention to what God is doing. There are openings. And if we learn to just, you know, again, lift our heads up out of our own world and look around, we can begin to find them. Now, I don't want you to start thinking that every situation is a situation to talk about Jesus. I don't want you to be that guy. I don't want you to be that person who your friend is talking about a new wine they've tried and you say, you know who makes really great wine? Jesus. Made the best wine. Oh, yeah, let me tell you about Cana. And then your friend is saying, oh, yeah, that's great. You got another friend who's looking for a good electrician to install a ceiling fan. You go, I don't know an electrician. But no, great carpenter. You know who's a great carpenter? Jesus. You don't need to be that person who turns every single conversation to Jesus. There are openings. If you just listen, if you just pay attention to the Holy Spirit, you'll be guided to see those openings. He'll lead you right up to it. And sometimes somebody will be reading Isaiah and you'll go, hey, do you know what you're reading? Do you know what that means? And there you have a conversation. But you've got to be paying attention to be able to see those. The third point I want to share with you is just simply this. Commitment. Because there will be situations, there will be opportunities, and you'll miss some of them. Some of them will sail right past you. And sometimes you'll blow it. But we need to stay committed because there will be more of those coming too. We'll have to have our head up and we'll have to be looking around and listening for those as well. This past week, I was in Safeway and I was standing in line kind of minding my own business. I don't think I was looking at my phone at that time, but I'm just kind of waiting for the person in front of me who says something to me. And I can't understand anybody with these masks on. So I took a step forward. And I said, pardon me, I'm sorry, I didn't hear. And she says, social distancing. And I'm like, what? And she says, you've been creeping up on me. And I was just standing there. And I look and I see I'm probably about 5 feet from her now, but she'd said something. I'd stepped forward. I think I was okay before. So you know what I said? You know who's really close to you right now? Jesus. No, I didn't say that at all. You know what I actually said was nothing. And in that situation, I was actually pretty upset. The best I could manage in that particular situation was to not say the negative things that I was thinking. But I hope the next time I will do better. I hope the next time I will be able to say something positive, something kind, instead of just refraining from saying the bad things that I was thinking. And if you're thinking, I don't know how God could possibly use a conversation like that, a situation like that, then you may not have the confidence that God deserves to have in Him. God can do amazing, amazing things. And it seems like the farther we are from our comfort zone, the more we rely on Him, the more amazing the stuff is that He accomplishes. When we don't think it's my skill, it's my wit, it's my wisdom, it's my intelligence that's going to guide this conversation, when we start thinking, no, it's really all about God, and we turn it over to Him, I'm telling you, amazing stuff. Remember Paul from the Bible, Saul of Tarsus, not Paul Joplin. Paul, this guy we haven't met personally, but he wrote all those letters to all those churches. You know how he got his start? Tells you a little bit in the book of Philippians. Here's what he says. If anyone else thinks he has a reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. I was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. Paul was a Hebrew's Hebrew. He stood out from among his people. He was an absolute expert in the law, respected as a Pharisee. And if it was you, like me, and he was converted by Jesus on the road to Damascus, where would you have put him? I would have sent him right to the Jews so he could use the Old Testament, the scriptures that he was an expert in, and used him to convince the people that he was, again, he was a superstar. He was a rock star among those folks. And God says, no. I'm going to take him and I'm going to send him to the Gentiles. And you go, really, God? Does he know a lot of Gentiles? Of course not. He's a good Jewish guy. He wouldn't have anything to do with those people. But when he goes there, he's not going to rely on his own strength. He's going to rely on my strength. Because my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul, man, he learned some incredible lessons and he did some incredible things. If you weren't religious at all, you were just to look at him from a secular standpoint, you'd have to say he's probably one of the 5-6 most influential people in the history of the world. And he'd be the first to tell you it's not because of what he knows or what gifts God has given him. It's because of the power of God made perfect in his weakness. Because he submitted himself to get outside his comfort zone. And he cared more about what God could accomplish. He cared about sharing Jesus with people. All these things that I just lined out for you. Paul lived that. And God accomplished amazing things for him. You're going to have opportunities this summer. I pray that you will be able to do those things as well if you get outside your comfort zone a little bit. I think we're all kind of out there right now. But let's look for what God is doing. And maybe we'll have an experience a little bit like that Ethiopian eunuch. You ever worry, or excuse me, not worry, wonder what happened to him, by the way? We never hear from him. And again, he goes on his way rejoicing. But I got a little tidbit for you, just a little bit of information for you. There's an Ethiopian Lutheran church, a Lutheran church of the entire nation of Ethiopia. And today, or at least as of 2017, it had 8.7 million members. 8.7 million Lutherans in Ethiopia today. And that guy was the very first one. And now, today, if you combined all the other Lutheran denominations in the United States, ELCA, Wells, LCMS, all those guys, it still doesn't add up to how many Lutherans there are in Ethiopia. God started it with this guy and with Philip, who just said yes to the Holy Spirit. What could God do with you if you're inviting a neighbor to church? If you're just being nice to some woman in the Safeway checkout line? I don't know. But there's only one way we can find out. Just trust God. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, I thank you that it is not up to me, but it's your strength that's made perfect in my weakness. And Lord, when I struggle to get out of uncomfortable situations, I pray that you would just whisper in my ear, Mike, you need to practice the things that you just preached. You need to let me be me and stop trying to control situations. See what I can do. Just let me amaze you. Lord, I pray that you will do just that, that you will amaze me, that you will amaze everybody who puts their trust in you, because you can do that, Lord. You call us things that are greater than us, greater than our comfort. Help us to be bold, bold in your strength, not in ours, but in your power over situations where we really don't get what's going on. You do. Help us to trust you in that, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.